Hello and welcome to a very special episode of Sewing Bee Unpicked with me, Rob.
And me, Sean.
And as always, we will just like to say that we are not associated with Love Productions, with the Great British Sewing Bee, or with the BBC. This is just a podcast from a couple of friends that like to talk about the show. So, Sean, it's been a while. We last recorded in July. How have you been?
Not bad, thank you. Yourself, what's been new?
Oh, not a lot, just life.
Yeah, I know that feeling all too well.
But I am very excited to be back chatting with you. And I looked back and I saw that our first ever episode was a Christmas episode, and it was the Christmas special in 2020.
Jeez, that feels like such a long time ago.
Yeah, it's like three years now we've been doing our little podcast.
I can't believe that we're like technically on our third 3 year anniversary of doing this.
Yeah, it's mad, isn't
It just a little bit.
Are you feeling Christmassy?
Nearly. I think I will feel Christmassy tomorrow. Heading back to the parents tomorrow, spending Christmas and New Year's with them. So I'm going to go back and see some old friends from my hometown. Yeah, I think once I'm there, it will feel Christmassy. At the moment, I'm still in the, oh my God, I've got so much stuff to get done. How
Oh.
about you?
Well, our house is filled to the brim with Christmas crap. It looks like Santa's grotto.
Love it.
Right, well, we should get on to talking about the Great British Sewing Bee Celebrity Christmas Special.
Yeah.
So we had a few new and different things in this episode. We have a new presenter, Kyle Smith-Bynoe, who was taking over from Sarah Pascoe, because I'm assuming that this was probably filmed around September, October time this year. And I think that's when Sarah Pascoe was having her second baby.
Oh, congratulations.
I might have that completely wrong, but
It's fine. Take the congratulations anyway, Sarah.
I'm.
Just take it. It's a free one.
And I absolutely love Kyle Smith-Bynoe. I am a massive fan of him. Love him on Ghosts and find him to be absolutely hilarious. Never seen him in a presenting role before, so I thought this was quite interesting. And I thought he fitted into the team really, really well.
He did do a very, very good job.
And our celebrities, we had Hamid Animishon. We had Jessica Knappett, we had Kerry Goldleman, and we had Toya Wilcox. What did you think of the mix of celebrities?
I loved it. I mean, I am a big fan of Jessica Knappett and Kerry Godleyman. I think they are hilarious. So yeah, it was a nice mix. I really liked this. I don't know much about the other two, but from what I saw, I thought they were fantastic. So now definitely want to know a bit more and learn a bit more about them. But yeah, I mean, my highlight of Jessica Knappett was when she was on Taskmaster and she was doing that silly walk and accidentally fell off the stage. So it was just, I think she is absolutely hilarious, and I was really excited to see her on this.
I knew all of the people on there because normally there's usually like one person that I don't really know anything about. But I've seen Hamid in a few things. He's hilarious. Jessica, I've seen in various TV shows in between us and stuff, and especially like you fell in love with her when she was on Taskmaster. Kerry Godleyman, hilarious, has done so much amazing stuff. She's got a really great podcast, and I've been to see her stand up before. And it was at her stand up is absolutely amazing. Totally, I was doubled over in laughter. It was fantastic. And Toya Wilcox, you're a bit young, and I'm a bit young, really. But she was a punk pop singer from the 80s. I have like very, very young memories of kind of seeing her on Top of the Pops and stuff. But you are way too young for that.
Thanks.
So let's get into the episode. First of all, we had the pattern challenge, as always, where they had to produce a Christmas stocking. They had 2 hours. It had a cuff, it had a lining, which you needed to do bagging out with, and they were told to do embellishment and put a little ribbon on there so you could hang it on the mantle. What did you think of this as a challenge?
I thought this was really cute. I like the fact that Sewing Bee does every now and then bring up a sewing challenge that isn't clothes related. I think a lot of the time we do kind of, when you think of patterns, you do think of clothes and sleeves and plackets and stuff like that. So I thought it was a nice, easy-ish challenge as well. It's not complicated seams, you're not having to do a princess seam or something like that on it. So I thought it was a nice one. It kind of fits in with, because I got the feeling that a lot of them didn't have really that much sewing experience behind them. So I think it was a nice one to kind of do the, here it is, it's nice and simple, don't stress. Like, you shouldn't really go that wrong with this one. And so I thought it was a nice one. I thought it was a good challenge for them, for beginners in a sewing challenge, in a sewing competition. Yeah,
I agree. I've made stockings before. Last Christmas, I made four stockings. They were very similar to these, actually, but kind of like smaller. And they are a really fun, fairly quick sewing project. There's lots of different ways to customize it, and it's something that you can make, and then it becomes a tradition that you can get out with all the other Christmas decorations every year. So I thought it was a really good, fun choice of a challenge. And I thought 2 hours, that's a decent amount of time, I think, even though I'm sure none of the celebrities were sewers. They didn't really talk an awful lot about any kind of sewing experience they had, but it seemed like none of them really had any. So they probably had maybe an hour or two beforehand with the producers, where they just kind of sit you down and say, this is how you use a sewing machine. But yeah, I thought it was a really good challenge.
Yeah, I thought also the 2 hours for a simple challenge with very novice sewers, I think, allows them to relax into it and not be so stressed. I mean, I know there was a bit of stress going on, but I think it was a nice ease into the competition.
Definitely. So shall we talk about the worst and go to the best?
Sounds like a plan.
So in fourth place, we had Kerry Godleyman, who had, she used a black floral fabric. I've got a question mark next to that. And then used gold to make her cuff. She had put a lot of iron-on gold stars, which were not fantastically ironed on, and Esme showed that by peeling one off.
And Esme was savage with that.
She really was.
She saw a loose corner and she went for it.
There were also bells originally on Curry's stocking, which fell off immediately when it was picked up off the mantle. And she had, it looked like a black and white pin dot lining on it. I was not a huge fan of her fabric choices. I think in that haberdashery, there was absolutely loads of different stuff, and I spotted a lot of really nice Christmas fabric. So I wasn't 100% sure why she picked the black floral. What did you think of Kerry's stocking?
I didn't hate her fabric choice, because I thought it was quite interesting to go with something that isn't traditionally a Christmas print. It wasn't the best combination. I think that's probably why I didn't like it as much as I could have, just because I didn't quite like the combination of the fabrics, the gold with the kind of floral print, just kind of clashed a little bit. I I think my favourite bit was the fact that Esme ripped the star off and then the bells fell off of it. That was probably my favourite bit of the whole. I didn't hate the fabric choices. I didn't like the fabrics together. But I thought, construction-wise, she did a very good job of it.
Yeah, apart from the bells and stuff, looked like it was, the sewing was, looked okay to me.
Yeah, no, the sewing looked great. And yeah, it just made me chuckle that the fact that, like, literally as soon as it was picked up, just things fell off of it. Because I was like, yep, I can relate. So yeah, it wasn't the neatest, but her construction was very, very good. I just think there was a bit of a judgment error in her combination. I think she probably could have found something a bit better than the gold. If she wanted to stick with the florals, I think she could have found something else to use instead of the gold, because I just felt they clashed a little bit too much. That's my personal preference on it.
Yeah, I mean, I would kind of agree with you that I think she kind of used that gold to try and make it feel a little bit more Christmassy. I am not a massive fan of that kind of gold foil lame style fabric. I don't mind it in certain situations, but I just didn't feel like this was the right situation. Maybe
it wasn't a choice.
Yeah. Hey, let's leave that there.
Yeah.
In third place, we had Hamid, who had used African print fabric, which was mostly like a purple colour. And then on the cuff, it was kind of like black and yellow. He'd put the TL letters for his wife, and he had ironed. Well, no, sorry. Those were the iron-on letters. And then he had glued on some kind of little silvery, purpley pom-poms, which I think a couple of those popped off. I thought it was a really interesting and a choice of fabrics. I liked that he had chosen those for its heritage, and I thought that was a really nice choice. I thought they looked really good together. I'm usually very like, Christmas has to be gold, green, red. But when I actually saw those, I thought, you know what, those are kind of fun, and depending on where you're putting that up, that could look really good.
I love the fact that he used the African wax prints. I mean, I love African wax prints. I just think they're such a stunning, stunning textile. I really like the fact that he used them, and I liked the fact that they weren't your traditional Christmassy kind of colours. I thought it was really nicely done. I think the combination of the two fabrics worked really, really well together. I actually wish, I mean, I know the judges wanted it. I kind of wish he didn't put the embellishments on it. I loved it as just the wax prints. I thought it was simple and understated. And I just thought actually it was really classy. The sewing wasn't the neatest, but I actually really liked it. I really loved it, in fact.
I would agree with you that quite often embellishing is kind of a dangerous thing to do, because you can take something that's kind of elegant and sophisticated and really kind of make it a bit tacky and a bit naff.
Yeah.
And yeah, I agree. I think it, without the embellishments, it did look quite cool. I think it also had some Santas on it as well.
Yeah, had some Santas on the back.
Which, yeah, I didn't really need. But I think if he hadn't done the embellishment, the judges would have been like, oh, well, you didn't really do a lot with this.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I kind of forced to make it your typical Christmassy. And for me, that spoiled it, because I thought it was really beautiful. I love a bit of understated sewing. I love something that's a bit unique, non-traditional. I didn't necessarily dislike the letters, but for me it was the Santa patches. But I do get that it was part of the requirement. They've got to make it Christmassy, they've got to make it obviously Christmassy. So he did what he needed to do, and fair enough.
I absolutely loved as well when he was using the sewing machine and he accidentally kept putting his foot down on the pedal and it kept going, and he would let out these little screams, which I think is so funny. It took me back to when I started sewing, and you kind of have a little bit of a fear of the sewing machine. And it takes a while to kind of get over that fear and realize actually you are in control. It's like when you learn to drive, I think, for the first time. And
No, I get that.
I thought that was really nice, and I thought that was really cool of the producers to keep that footage in, and kind of show that these people haven't really used sewing machines before, and it is kind of a little bit scary and a little bit
It
stressful.
is.
Right, so moving into second place, we have Toya Wilcox, who she had picked, it looked to me like a black velvet fabric with gold dots on it. I thought this was really classy. She had put bells on, a green ribbon, black tassels, and then she'd use green lining Christmassy. I thought this was a really cool and sophisticated take on a stocking. I don't think I needed that green ribbon or the tassel. I didn't mind the tassel actually, but I don't think I needed the green ribbon. I like the bells because they're kind of tied into the gold. Again, I just thought maybe a little bit over embellished. And she had some issues as well, where I think on her cuff, maybe she'd folded it the wrong way, length instead of width, so that the sizing wasn't right. It ended up being way too big, so that she'd got some kind of weird tuck or something and couldn't really see what was going on. What did you think of Toya's stuff?
I completely agree with you. I love black and gold. Black and gold is like one of my favorite color combinations ever. And I completely agree with you. Like, I think the stocking would have been so classy if it was just left as the black and gold, and maybe with like a black velvet trim rather than having the black and gold all the way through. Didn't need the yellow ribbon, didn't need the tassel, didn't need the bells. I thought this was really classy. And again, it's that having to over embellish to make it typical Christmas, when actually what it was amazing as it is, if that made any sense whatsoever. I would have loved to have just seen it as its unembellished state. That would be something that I would buy, hands down. Slight issue with the cuff, somehow made it a little bit longer, had to kind of do a little tuck in it. Then she had her little medieval story behind it as an excuse for the tuck being there, which I found quite funny because the judges were not having it at all. I really liked it. I didn't like the embellishments, but I loved it so much.
Yeah, I totally in agreement. And yes, I thought it was really classy. You could see that hanging up in like next home or somewhere. Definitely, I thought that would be really popular. So well done, Toya. And in first place, we had Jessica Knappett, who had used red cotton, and then on her cuff, it was a red cotton with little rocking horses. She'd used a green satin lining. She'd put one gold star, because that was all Kerry had left her, and the letter G for her daughter as embellishment. Now, I thought that the choice of the satin was a little bit risky and crazy from someone who hadn't sewn before, but it seemed to work out for her. She seemed to get on and sew it okay, and I think that use of satin really does kind of elevate and give a feeling of luxury to these kind of things. Did you like Jessica's?
I thought this was adorable, and I'm not gonna lie, I kind of felt like she was kind of going to be fourth place for a lot of it, so I was really, really surprised and happily surprised to see how well she did. Like this, I think also because she was doing it for her daughter, there was that extra oomph to make it nice. I love the fact that it was, there was that little bit of shade of, yes, well, there was only one star left for me. I thought that was hilarious. Yeah, I thought she did a really good job. It was so cute. It was a very typical Christmas. I could see this being gifted. Like, I thought she did an incredible job. Like, for a non-sewer, she did very, very well.
Yeah, definitely. Very classic, very classy. That would go very well in my house, I think. Really well done, especially on that satin lining.
Yeah, I mean, the satin lining was a choice. And when they came around, she went, yeah, I've just read that it says cotton, not satin. I was like, oh, this could go horribly wrong. But she handled it so well.
Definitely. And it is quite a tricky thing to do. And if you are doing something like that, it's lots and lots of pins.
Yeah, lots. And you overpin the hell out of it.
And make sure it does not move.
Yeah. If you think you've got enough pins, you have not got enough pins. You need to add about an extra 10 more pins. Like, there needs to be more pins than fabric.
Right. So that was the pattern challenge. Moving on to the transformation challenge, which was an adult puffer jacket to be transformed into a 3D children's food themed fancy dress. That's a mouthful. They also had a few basic fabrics available to them and the haberdashery, and they had 90 minutes. I was thinking maybe they would give them a little bit longer. I thought this was actually a really difficult transformation.
Mm-hmm.
I think that puffer jacket, you've got a quilted fabric, which is normally some kind of polyester, nylon, ripstop,
wadding in between
and quilted. It's, you've got multiple layers and it's really thick. So doubling it up or trying to sew seams with it, I think is really difficult, especially for the novice sewer who might have never sewn with anything like that before. So I thought this was a really tricky challenge.
This was a bit mean, but then I suppose they gave him a nice challenge to begin with. So it's like, all right, we're going to gently ease you into it. Here's something difficult. I liked the challenge. I did think it was a bit harsh. But you know what? What's Christmas without a little bit of a harsh challenge to deal with? I thought they all did very, very well, considering what they were having to deal with.
Yeah, well, let's get into what they managed to do. In fourth place, we had Jessica Knappett. I've just written down mess here next to Jessica's name. I think she kind of went into this and decided, right, I need to make the jacket smaller to fit a child, and just kind of got a bit lost with what she was doing. And it was difficult, and she was trying, it seemed like she was trying to use a ribbon to kind of close up the areas where she'd cut open, and then she didn't leave herself, but she spent so long trying to tailor the jacket that she didn't actually leave herself any time to do any kind of embellishment to make it look like a Brussels sprout.
Mm-hmm.
It was a sad affair.
It was a very, very sad little Brussels sprout. I think you are 100% right that she spent so much time trying to reduce the size of it that she just lost track of everything else that she needed to do. It was when she then tried to glue bits, that's where I was like, yeah, you're in danger. This is not good. It's a good thing you guys don't get eliminated from this episode, because this is not a good, when you're trying to glue things on in the last 5 minutes, that glue is not, I mean, we've all used that glue. It's not the best glue in the world as it is. It does well when you leave it to dry for like 48 hours. But when you've got 5 minutes and you're trying to glue something onto a polyester item, it ain't going to stick. It's not going to work. But I got the idea she was going for. I love that we had a battle of the Brussels sprouts. Yeah, it was a bit of a mess. Bless her. Considering she did so well in the first one, I was really heartbroken for her because I thought, you know what? Maybe she's the underdog. Maybe, like, she's the one I've not expected and she's going to do really, really well and she's going to ace every challenge. We did really well in the first challenge. Oh, that's what we've made this challenge. Okay. Whoops-a-daisy.
Yeah. Let's leave that Brussels there, side of the plate, and move on to Hamid, who had produced a purple quality street. And there were issues with this as well. Like, he had to take apart the mannequin to actually get it on the child.
Yeah, that's not going to work as a costume if you have to dismantle your child to put them in it.
Like, it looks all right from the front if you squinted, but from the back, it looked like it was being held together with, like, safety pins or something.
Yeah, it was. I love the fact that he thought outside the box and went with that classic suite that ends up in everyone's house. I love that he went for something a bit different because we had three lots of veggies and then a chocolate. I love the fact that he went a bit different with it, took a different route. And yes, if you squinted whilst looking at it from a distance, you could probably guess what it was supposed to be. But yeah, when they turned that mannequin round and you saw it from the back, oh my God, that was messy. That was really messy. Yeah, it wasn't the best. I think there might have been a bit of a hard time trying to work out who came in third and fourth place between him and Jessica. I think mostly he got third place because it was a bit more finished. But yeah, if you have to, like, remove your child's arms to put them in a costume, it's not a very good costume.
And I thought the original idea of this was quite an interesting idea. I thought the sweets, it's something that everybody has, like a tub of sweets at Christmas time in the house. And if he had maybe got a large bit of that purple fabric and then almost kind of cut a hole in it to make kind of like a poncho and then tied some ribbon around two sides to kind of ruche them in, it would kind of given you that shape.
Yep, definitely. I think because he tried to do it from like a diagonal point, I think had he'd worked on it so you had like either ends of the sweet wrapper at like the kind of legs and the head, I think that would have worked so much better. And I'm sure there would have been some form of purple netting that you probably could have used. It wasn't great. At least Jessica's was functional. You could get in and out of it.
So let's move on to maybe the better two out of them. In second place, we had Toya, who had made a glam rock carrot, she had used the pockets, essentially turning them into kind of sleeve holes, which was quite an interesting idea because she turned the jacket upside down. It wasn't super carrot shaped in my mind. There's lots of Christmas foods where I would have probably gone to first that are rounder in shape than a carrot, which is long and thin. I would have probably gone more for something rounder, Christmas pudding or Brussels sprout or something else that's kind of rounder. She'd gone absolutely nuts in the haberdashery with every kind of blingy item and used, it seemed like, thousands of safety pins on this. It was an interesting choice. What did you think of Toya's carrot?
I loved the idea because it was also kind of giving me Kevin the Carrot vibes.
It
was like, come, like, Kevin the Carrot has now become a bit of a Christmas icon. It's kind of like those adverts are kind of working their way into being a kind of typical Christmas advert. Like, you have the Coca-Cola advert, the John Lewis advert. So, yeah, I thought I could kind of see where she was going with it. Then she went nuts in the haberdashery, which I don't think was very necessary, because it sort of looked like she was trying to give the carrot a bit of a scarf. And I was like, okay, we're kind of losing it here. Like, because it wasn't, like, had she'd used more of like a kind of check or a tartan, like, and done that, would have given me more Kevin the Carrot vibes. Yeah, I'm not really sure where she was going with this. And then when she kind of went down the Vivian Westwood excuse, I was kind of like, okay, it's a reach. Not really feeling it. It was good. Construction-wise was good. But yeah, I feel like she had one too many ideas and was then trying to cram it onto a tiny costume.
Yeah, there was a lot going on.
There was too much.
Right, let's leave that carrot there and move on to first place, which was Kerry Godleyman, who had also done a Brussels sprout, and she had been quite clever. I wasn't 100% sure how she did it, but she'd used the jacket to somehow make it smaller, maybe without cutting it apart. And then she had padded it out with more padding to make it kind of a rounder shape. And then she'd been very clever and added different coloured leaves in different shades of green cotton and netting, which were sewn around the kind of neck hole. And I thought it looked like a great little Brussels sprout costume.
This was brilliant. I love the fact that she did it. So it was like the leaves were coming down the way, because there wasn't going to be that issue of the leaves kind of falling down if she'd done it the other way round. I thought this was genius. And it was so simple as well. It wasn't overdone. There wasn't loads of embellishments on it. It was just really simple. You could tell exactly what it was supposed to be. I love the fact that she used different textiles in different shades of green, because it just gave it a bit more dimension. I think the only thing that I didn't like was the fact that she stuffed loads of wadding into it when it was zipped up. I would have much rather she found a way to pad it out, but in that short space of time, it's forgivable. But you definitely wouldn't want to like have your kid dressed up and they're like, their costumes filled up with wadding, because they're just going to overheat. They're going to get very, very warm and very grouchy very quickly. But this was brilliant. Like, out of all of the Christmas episodes they have done, this is probably one of my favourite costumes that they've ever done. And I don't like Brussels sprouts.
I don't think anyone likes Brussels sprouts.
I know a few people, but they're just weird. One of them being my mother. But yeah, I thought this was genius. Simple, understated, pure genius.
Yes, well done. Well done, Kerry. And I thought it was interesting that Kerry had gone from the bottom in the first challenge to the top in this challenge, and Jessica had gone from the top in the last challenge to the bottom in this one.
Yeah.
So it's all turned around. So everything it was still to play for when we get into the Made to Measure, which was a 4-hour challenge where they had to create any kind of garment for Christmas Day that they wanted to. What did you think of this as a challenge?
I felt like the brief was just a little bit too loose. Because I think I'm just so used to the Made to Measure, it's always like you've got a bit of free rein in the style of it, but we want you to make a smoking jacket, we want you to make a dressing gown, we want you to make a pyjama set. I felt like this was a little bit too loose in whatever you want to make, as long as it's Christmassy. Kind of felt like they maybe ran out of ideas. But everyone did very, very well with it. I really liked some of the stuff that was made. I thought it was good. But yeah, I kind of wish the challenge was a bit more uniform.
I think that they had left it so broad because they had a collection of people who weren't sewers. I think if they'd made it too specialised and too specific, it might have been too difficult for some of them to deal with.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
I think it kind of gave them enough scope that they could choose something which might be within their level of experience and ability. Because I think what we ended up with were different outfits which had different levels of workmanship and complication in.
Yes,
does that make
definitely.
Sense? Before we start chatting, actually, just wanted to mention the moment where Toy Wilcox got out an old vinyl and showed the costume that Esme had designed for her for the cover of the vinyl, which I thought was absolutely amazing.
That was an amazing moment.
And also, she'd brought with her the Swanky Mode choker that she had bought from Esme's shop back in the day that she would wear when she went for lunch with Princess Diana, which I was just like, what?
Yeah, that was one of those. I was like, this is a cool bit of history. And you know what? I love these sorts of specials because there's always just something in it that just takes it beyond just being a sewing competition. Like, there's a bit of history. There's a bit of reuniting. There's like when we had the Vivian, and then the Vivian like expressed how much of a fan of Cher she is, and then like she and Esme got to kind of have that moment about discussing about when Esme's been to her house, and I just love those little moments because I think they're so special, and like again reiterates why I love this show so much.
Yeah, I always forget that Esme has created costumes and outfits for TV, film, music, for celebrities. I always just kind of forget that. And it is totally amazing. She's had such an incredible career.
She has. And you know what? It still blows my mind that she made the bunny outfit for the Bridget Jones. Like, that is one of my favourite bits of costuming in film history. And I'm like, I just kind of thought it's a bunny outfit. They probably just had, like, maybe bought it. Like, you know where you've just, like, you don't really know the history behind it. And then you find out Esme made it. And I'm like, that is incredible. Like, you created one of my favourite bits of film history. Like, yeah, I would love to meet Esme.
Me too. It would be amazing.
It really would. You just need to make sure that all your iron-on patches are stuck on properly, because you might find she starts ripping them off your clothes if they're not.
Oh, bless her. Right, back to the challenge. So let's talk about Hamid first. He had produced an African print tunic in red with a contrast green, two contrast green patch pockets, which were trimmed with gold. The neckline was also trimmed with gold. It looked really festive. I think this was the simplest garment out of the four and had probably the least complicated construction. The sleeves he had not had time to hem, so they were still raw edges, but in general I thought it was a good fit. It wasn't, yeah, as I've just said, it wasn't massively complicated to make, but I think he dealt with it in a really good way, and I thought it looked quite festive and quite fun.
I thought he did a very, very good job, but I do agree with you that though he was smart in going for something that was quite simple to make, it didn't look like there was a great deal of technical seams or anything going on there. I thought it was smart that he went for something that he knew that he could get done. But yeah, it was a bit disappointing that it was simple but unfinished. like the raw edges is just a no-no on Sewing Bee. You hem everything you need to, especially if it is something that's quite simple. But I really liked it. I thought it was so cute. I love a bit of African wax print rep. God, I can't even get my words out now. A bit of African wax print representation. There we go. I really, really liked it. I could see someone chilling out on that on Christmas Day. I thought it was beautifully done. And the pockets were even. He didn't have one pocket slightly higher than the other. The pockets were even. But yeah, it would have been nice to see the trim used a bit more. The hems finished. But he did well. He did a good job.
Definitely. And it's not always easy to get things like patch pockets in the correct. God, neither of us can talk. We are too out of practice of making podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good thing we don't do something that requires us to talk, isn't it?
as I was saying, it can be quite difficult to get the patch pockets in the correct position. Because you can think they're in the right position, sew them on, and then when you step away from it and look at it hanging and draped, you can be like, oh my God, no, there's one of them is like an inch harder than the other one, because fabric does, you know, change as it drapes, and when it's flat on the table, things can look like they're even when they're actually not. So that is quite a tricky thing to do. But yeah, I agree. I think he did a really good job, and I thought it was festive and fun. So moving on to Kerry Godleman, she had a two-piece PJ set in a cream viscose with elasticated trousers, which ended up being capri length. She had some issues with the seams pulling, and there was a few messy kind of hems, it looked like. But to give her credit, the top of the kind of PJ set, although we shouldn't call it a PJ set, but I am going to call it a PJ set, the top of it had a facing in there. It had a collar. It had cap sleeves. There was a lot of work in that in 4 hours. And viscose isn't always the easiest thing to sew with as well. She'd put sparkle buttons on it, which I thought gave it a really sophisticated look, and something that a lot of women would want to wear. And I thought the fit generally was pretty good on it.
She did really, really well, considering she picked a tricky fabric to use, particularly for beginners. I can't, apart from the dodgy seams and the hems, she did really, really well. She took on a challenge, and you know what? She got it finished, which makes me very, very happy. I wasn't necessarily a fan of the colour, but that's just me. I'm not really a fan of kind of neutral tones like creamy colours. But she did good. She did very, very good with this. Like, she should be incredibly, incredibly proud of what she produced.
Yeah, I thought that the judges maybe didn't give her enough credit for the amount of work that went into that. I thought there was an awful lot of work in that two-piece. Mm-hmm. So I thought she did really well. I don't know if they give them any extra help. You know, they don't show that. But I thought it was a really good job.
She did fantastic.
So that was Kerry's, and Jessica's up next, and she had produced a Christmas tree dress. It was a 3-tiered dress in a glitter green cotton with added gold rickrack. It had tinsel. It had a red pom-pom hem. She had sewn on baubles. There were lights on it. I thought generally it was a good fit. There were some issues with the top tier not being sewn on kind of parallel, and there seemed like there was some tuck going on there, and it kind of lifted up a bit. But generally, I thought this was a really cute dress. I thought it would be perfect for like a Christmas party. I thought it was fun. I've got some of that green fabric, and it doesn't drape that well because of they put the glitter on with like a glue, and it kind of stops the cotton from draping really well. So I thought that was well handled, even though they didn't really talk about that. I thought it was really cute. What did you think about Jessica's?
I thought this was absolutely adorable. I really, really loved it. I know there were issues, but I just thought this was so cute. I thought she did a really, really good job. It was really creative. And when you looked at all of them, I think she had the most festive looking outfit. Obviously, it was a Christmas tree, so it was going to be festive. But like, when the brief was to create a festive outfit, you can do whatever you want, but it's got to be festive. Like, Kerry's, I think, I kind of felt a bit of an all-year-round kind of outfit. In fact, I felt like the first two, they were very, could be worn whenever. But this was definitely like, yeah, it's Christmas, it's an outfit, you've done everything you needed to, you've sewn it pretty well. I thought she did well. I really like this.
Yeah, me too. I thought it was super cute, very party dress, very cute. So that was Jessica's. Now, Toya, lastly, she had produced a long princess theme sleeveless pale blue dress with an embellished jewel belt and a hooded organza snowflake cloak. It was giving me very Frozen vibes. Let it go, let it go. I'm not going to sing anymore. We don't have the fans. We can't justify that. I thought that actually on the dress, there was a moment I paused it. It was really well done. The hem on the cloak wasn't, but organza is not super easy to work with. And she had like 12 miles of it that she had to hem. So, I mean, it's going to get messy. But I thought it was a really, nice look. I thought it was very festive, very wintry, very, it was borderline costumey, but I thought it was really cute. And I thought the cloak gave it a really beautiful look.
It gave me nativity vibes. Yeah. She did a lot of work. She did a lot of work in that space of time. And she deserves a lot of credit. Wasn't my favorite, but it did give me, it was giving me nativity, it was giving me Frozen vibes. It definitely for me felt a lot more costumey than outfit. I couldn't really see anyone wearing it apart from in a nativity. At least with Jessica's, I could see people wearing it to the office party or wearing it at work if they're in like a customer facing role. It did feel a bit costumey to me, but there was a lot of work that went into it. She did so well. There were so many aspects and details, and she did a good job. Like, and with that amount of fabric in that space of time, like, she took on a challenge, and she should be incredibly proud of herself for what she produced.
I want to know what kind of nativities you're going to that Elsa from Frozen is in them.
Well, it was giving me more Mary vibes.
Mary in her traditional snowflake cloak.
Well, from a distance, it kind of looks like a headpiece, and like, yeah, that's just what it was giving me.
I'm pulling your leg, Sean.
I know you are, but yeah, I saw the Frozen aspect of it, but it was kind of just giving me a bit more nativity vibes.
Yeah, I will agree. There was a lot of work in that. She'd really gone for it, because 4 hours isn't it like a huge amount of time, especially if you're having to cut the fabric. And all that hemming she had to do, mm-hmm. and also fit to a model which none of them had ever done before.
Yeah, and they all deserve a lot of praise for that, because those were probably the best fitting garments I've ever seen in a like made to measure special.
Definitely. So well done, well done, Toya. I think that was a really great outfit. So they announced that the winner was Toya Wilcox, which I thought was fair. I think she'd been pretty consistent over all of the challenges, coming second and second, and then did really well in the made to measure. Yeah, I thought it was... What did you think about the winner?
I was half expecting it to be Jessica. I'm not going to lie. I just thought she had a win. She had a fail. And then she done really, really well. I did kind of feel like it was going to be Jessica. But yeah, I think the Frozen Mary costume was incredible. And it deserved all of the recognition it got.
Yeah, I think it was really between Jessica and Toya. And I think that if Jessica hadn't have come last in the transformation, that she could have definitely taken away the trophy.
Yeah, no, that's fair. That's fair.
But well done to all of the celebrities that took part. I thought it was a really fantastic episode. It really kind of gave me those festive vibes.
It's the cheesy cracker jokes.
Definitely. It's made me want to do a bit of sewing, actually. I think I'm going to have to find some time between Christmas and New Year's to get the sewing machine out and do a bit of sewing.
Sounds like a good plan to me.
Well, that is our episode. I hope everyone enjoyed watching the show. I hope everyone enjoyed listening to the podcast. We should just say that our friend has a business called Sewing with Pride, where he has lots of different sewing patterns, loads of gender inclusive sewing patterns there. He has the facility to print up to A0 sized patterns. I know I buy quite a few patterns online, and it's quite annoying when you buy them. You quite often you get the A4 size and you get the A0 size. I haven't got time to sit there and sellotape 52 bits of A4 together. No time for that. So,
and sometimes like you get them and they just don't quite match up either.
Exactly. So I am all up for sending the pattern to him, getting him to print the pattern in nice big A0 size and posting it back really quickly. And then I can trace it onto, you know, you can either cut it out, or I tend to trace it onto this kind of see-through-y non-woven fabric and then use that pattern. So in case I need to trace a smaller size or a bigger size. So yeah, just wanted to give a shout out to Colby from Sewing with Pride. And you can find him on Instagram. He's got a fantastic website, Sewing with Pride, and check that out. This is not a paid commercial before anybody says anything. This is just a friend.
And as a customer of Sewing with Pride, like, the service is fantastic. He offers different ranges, so go check him out. Like, seriously, we want to start giving recognition to small independent sewing businesses. So if anyone knows of anyone, any businesses, send us a message. Let us have a chance to give them a little bit of a shout out. Let us know why you love them. But seriously, go check out Sewing with Pride.
Definitely, yeah. As Sean says, drop us a mail if you've got anything that you'd like us to promote on the show. Drop us a DM on the Instagram and let us know if there's any sewing businesses you'd like us to give a shout out to. So that was our episode, and we will be back again soon. So it's a goodbye from me.
And a goodbye from me.
Bye.
Bye.